Good morning, and welcome to our service, 5th of July 2020. Those of you who are eagle-eyed will have noticed that I am not Max Cross, the rector. I am, in fact, Polly, a member of the congregation. Don't worry, Max is alive and well. He's just having a bit of a break this week because he's been putting all the services together and we thought he deserved a bit of a rest. However, you will be hearing from him later in the service, so don't worry at all. As we start today, I just wanted to read a few words from one of the Psalms. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. And we're going to start our service today by singing together one of the songs that's a favourite in our household, The Greatest Day in History. Wasn't that a great song? I hope you enjoyed joining in with that. And as we carry on with our service, it's great to recognise that Jesus is alive today and we do have that free access to him. But also it's good to come before him and to reflect and say sorry for the things that we've done this week that we shouldn't have done. The words we've said that we didn't mean. The words we haven't said that we should have done. And we're going to join together now in a confession. When I say the words, Father, forgive us, please join in and say, save us and help us. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. And you know, the great thing is, once we ask God to forgive us, he does forgive us. It's forgiven, it's forgotten, and we can move on. And now as we move on in our service, we're going to hear our first reading.
The reading is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 7.
Thank you for that, Sandra. Sandra is one of our church wardens here, and we're now going to hear from one of our other church wardens, Roger, who is going to lead us in worship as we sing together, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Reverence. holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse.
Thank you for that, Roger. That was really lovely. And now we're going to have our second reading from Catherine. And then following on from that, you will get to hear from Max.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 37. The way of the cross. Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?"
Hello, it's good to be with you. The new norm is a phrase that we hear often at the moment. And unlike many people, I don't actually mind that phrase because I don't want to go back to the old norm. I don't want to go back to the old way of living. When we come out of this lockdown, I want to move forward into a new way of living. I wonder about you. I wonder what you have been thinking. Do you simply want to go back to the way things were, or do you want a new way of living? Jesus, as I often say, said that he would give you life and life to the full. And he is able to deliver on that. He is able to deliver on this new way of living. You see, it's been my experience as a churchgoer now for over 20 years. That actually being a churchgoer can be annoying and frustrating at times and can lead to the idea of being mediocre. Whereas actually what Jesus promised and what we're about to rediscover is that becoming a disciple of Jesus brings a light, an energy of fulfillment. It brings a new way of living. Before the lockdown came, we had just started a mini-series that we were calling Practicing the Way of Jesus. And I believe it is so fundamental to this new way of living that I placed that series on hold. I placed it on hold until we could discover how we might share this really important information during lockdown. Having spent the last few months looking at the fundamentals of our Christian faith, I believe that now is the time that we are ready to look at this new way of living. So during July, we're going to look at this new way of living by looking at the practices of Jesus. You see, being a follower of God has always been a radical call to live life differently. We see that in the Ten Commandments that we heard, which are a call for Israel to live their lives differently to the nations around them. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. That is a radical call to be different. That is to say, be different, Israel, to the nations around you. And then we read, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is Sabbath to the Lord your God. That is a radical call to Israel to be different to those nations around them. They were abusing and working people to the bone. And God says, no, 6 days shall you labor. A call to live a radically different life. And then thousands of years later, a rabbi that we know as Jesus said, come, follow me into a new radical life. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. We sit this side of the resurrection and we see Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and quite right too. But we miss what this call to be a disciple really is. You see, there were no Christians at that time when Jesus called the people to come follow him. There were only disciples of the teacher Jesus. But what a call. What a call to do that, to follow him. And they would have known what that meant. They would have known that truly was a big call. If you were a child at that time, to be a disciple of a rabbi would have been your ultimate goal in life. But it was only a goal that a few would reach, the Oxford or the Cambridge of their world, if you will. Those who could learn all of the Bible, those who could study and become what they called Talmudim, the elite. The Talmudim are what we now translate as disciples or apprentices. And they were devoted to their rabbi. Their whole goal in life was to be like their teacher, to become like their teacher, to be with their teacher and to do what their teacher did. And yet, among these elite, our rabbi Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to be my Talmudim must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Whoever, anyone. I mean, is anyone up for this? You don't have to be the elite. You don't have to be wealthy or super intelligent. You don't have to have been to theological college. You just have to pick up your cross and follow me, says Jesus. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Is anyone up for this? So what does it take to pick up your cross and follow Jesus? Well, that is what we are going to discover over the next few weeks. Actually, none of this is rocket science. People have looked at this over the years and discovered a new way of living. In fact, much of what we're doing is inspired by people like Brother Lawrence or Dallas Willard, N.T. Wright, John Mark Comer, all of which are pointed to on our website. In fact, there are more details on our website. And if you really want to go more in depth, if you really want this new way of living, then you can join us. In fact, let me invite you to join us online every Wednesday night as we ask the questions about the Sunday teaching and explore this further. Explore what it means to have this new way of living. Just get in touch with me via the website or phone or email, and we will invite you to that. In fact, I'd encourage you to come along. But for now, let me give you some of the headlines of what we're going to see over the next few weeks. To be with Jesus, that's what we're going to look at next week. To be an apprentice to Jesus, to desire to be with him. To follow him around, if you will, spending time in his presence. His call is to come and follow, not to stay at a distance. Next week, we're going to discover that Jesus said, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Remain or abide in Jesus and you are unstoppable. But without him, we can do nothing. And then we're going to look at becoming like Jesus. We're going to look at what it means to become like our rabbi, or what some traditions of the church call spiritual formation, and the rabbis themselves called their yoke. Of course, this is a journey over years. We don't become like Jesus overnight. But it is actually possible to become more like Jesus. It is possible to move towards that goal together as we journey together with Jesus. Whatever stage of life you're in, wherever you're coming from, wherever you feel you are on that road, take up my yoke and learn from me, says Jesus. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We read that in Matthew's gospel. The question for us right now is, what is forming who we are? Because something is. It could be our experiences of the world. It might be our parents or family, even if they're no longer alive. It might be the expectations of the world, our children, our neighbours. It could be many things. Perhaps a good question to ask ourselves is, am I more like Jesus this year than I was last year? What are we becoming? What are we allowing to inform that journey? Is it the teachings and the yoke of Jesus? Or is it something else? And then following on from that, we're going to look at doing what Jesus did. You see, having nailed spending time with Jesus, having nailed becoming like Jesus, or at least started on that journey, that simply leaves doing what Jesus did. And what did he do? Well, he prayed, he taught, he healed the sick, he preached the gospel, he brought peace, he sought justice, he prophesied, and he stood up against all sorts of corruption and evil. Hold on a minute, you might say. I want to spend time with Jesus. Of course I do. I want to become like Jesus. Of course I do. But I am not Jesus. And I can very much relate to that. You might think, well, I can't do what Jesus did. And that would be okay. Had Jesus, our rabbi, not said, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these." You see, eventually, as an apprentice, as a Talmudim, you will want to be able to do what the teacher does. And your rabbi, Jesus, said you would. He said that you would see his kingdom come. So that's it then. But of course, I have slightly undersold what we're doing over the next month. Because really, this is just a reintroduction to the new norm, this new life. Because as we look at spending time with Jesus, as we look at becoming like Jesus, and as we look at doing what Jesus did over the next few weeks, all we can do at this stage is look at the practices of Jesus beneath each of those areas. And then over the next few years together, we will truly journey with Jesus together to understand what it means to be one of his Talmudim, one of his apprentices, his disciples. But for today, the big idea or the big question for you might be this one question. Are you happy to go back to your old way of life? Or do you want a new way of living? What is your answer to that? Imagine, if you will, if we as a community decided to leave behind frustration and mediocrity decided to live lives to the full. The life to the full that Jesus promised and is within your grasp. The bulk of what it means to be an apprentice to Jesus is summed up in his Sermon on the Mount, which you can read in Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7. It's absolute gold dust. It's his teaching on this new way of life. But before he teaches that, he says this in verses 19 from chapter 5. He says, "Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." And then in chapter 7, 24, he says, "Everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man." He bookends his teaching with that. He bookends his teaching with the practices that we must do. If we want to become disciples of Jesus, practice being with him, practice becoming like him, and practice doing what he did, then we need to understand him. And we then need to act. I mean, don't get me wrong. You are loved and saved because of the grace of Jesus. No amount of trying harder is going to get you any more loved or any more saved than you already are. But if you really want that life and that life to the full, if you want to lose the frustration and the mediocrity, I invite you to join me on this journey of practicing the way of Jesus. A journey that we restart today and look at in these coming weeks. And I invite you to ask yourself this final question. Is there a new way of living for you?
Thank you for that, Max. It's really good to hear from you. A couple of questions arising from what Max has said. What does it mean to have a new way of living? And are you really willing to take up your cross and follow him? If you'd like to explore these a little bit further, then you can always join us in the Wednesday night discussion group. If you'd like to join in, we meet on Zoom, and all you need to do is drop Max an email, max@bedhampton.church, and he'll give you the joining instructions. It'd be really good to see a few of you there. And as we carry on with our service now, Nikki is going to come and lead us in our intercessions.
Let us pray. During this continuing time of change, we praise and thank you for the good things in our lives, for being able to appreciate all the summer flowers when we go for a walk, for the open spaces in our community, and for the sea on our doorstep, which opens up a vast space for us to enjoy. For the relaxing of lockdown rules this weekend, which allow us to meet in pubs, restaurants and other places, which have been closed for almost 4 months. We lift up all those who work in these places, and we pray that their customers will behave sensibly and respect all the guidelines to keep everyone safe. We asked that all these businesses will now thrive financially and will provide much needed employment for their staff. We thank you for all those who work in our emergency services and for all the key workers who've helped to keep this country running throughout the crisis. Help us to continue to respect their important contribution to our daily lives. Father, we lift up all the children who haven't returned to school yet. We pray that they can safely see their friends now and are not suffering from social isolation. We ask for your healing hand to be placed on everyone who is struggling with any mental health problem. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come upon us and lead us to anyone who might need our support, whether it be a phone call or a knock on the door. We know that it's easy to hide away when we're vulnerable, so please give those who are suffering the strength to ask for help. Thank you for increasing our awareness that no one is immune from mental health challenges. Guide us to be your hands and feet as we help others. Jesus, we praise you as we try to fulfill your commandment to love one another as I have loved you. We ask for your wisdom for our leaders, that they will make the right decisions to defeat the coronavirus in the shortest timescale possible, while continuing to minimise the loss of life. May they stay focused on the good of the country and not get sidetracked into self-promoting political issues. We pray that a second wave of infections will be avoided. We praise you for the national effort which is still happening every day across our country. We are reminded by this pandemic that you, Lord, can achieve miracles in our communities when we all help each other. We lift up all those across the world who are still in wars, famines, or other natural disasters, and who've now got the extra challenge of the coronavirus. Please also protect everyone in refugee camps where there's little suitable medical equipment to fight this disease. May the international effort to support these places continue, as we're all one family in the world that you created. Finally, we lift up all those who are ill, whatever the cause. We pray for healing of their bodies or minds in your name. Let's just pause for a moment to name anyone in our minds who are ill at the moment. We also ask you to be with all those who've lost loved ones recently. Please help their friends and relatives to know that their life is eternal with you in heaven. Lord, we lift up all these prayers to you in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for that, Nikki. That was lovely. And as we finish our prayers today, I'm just going to read the collect for today. Gracious Father, by the obedience of Jesus, you brought salvation to our wayward world. Draw us into harmony with your will, that we may find all things restored in him, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And as we come to the close of our service today, I do just want to remind you of a couple of things. I'm sure you've been listening to the news and are aware that churches are now able to open again. However, as a parish, we've made a decision that we're going to continue with our online services for the time being until we know it's safe for the buildings to be open for everybody to come back together as one church family. However, if being in the church building is important to you, don't forget we are open at St Thomas on Wednesdays and Sundays for private prayer. And for those of you who are missing Messy Church, please do go to the website. Today's the first Sunday of the month, and therefore there's a new Messy service available for you online. As we finish today, we're going to join together in a wonderful hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. As we're online, you can sing as loud as you like. There's no restrictions. And I'd love it if we could all open our windows and hear one another singing. Hope you enjoyed singing that as much as I did. And as we close today, I'd like to say a big thank you to everybody who's helped with today's service. Those who you've seen on screen and those who've helped behind the scenes with the technical aspects. It really is a group effort. And if you'd like to help out and be involved in part of the team, please just contact Max. He would love to hear from you, whether you want to read, say prayers, or be involved with the technical sides of putting these services together. There is a job for everybody. Last week I spoke about us all being one body and all having a part to play. Please do step forward and take your part. And as we close today, do join with me in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Keep safe, everybody. Until we meet again.